So last week, is it on? Hello? Okay. Last week in Huntersville, there were two girls who were hanging out. And like most hangouts nowadays, especially in someone's house, you know that you're mostly on the phone and you barely even interact with them. But anyways, one of them was scrolling through her own Instagram feed for like the 100th time to make sure it was socially acceptable and it looked good. The other girl noticed she was kind of anxious, which she had been because she was talking about how her Instagram is horrible compared to all of her friends and how she wishes she was more popular. So the other girl looked at her with eyes of comfort and said, you know, God doesn't care about the amount of followers you have. He cares about the amount of likes you get. So today, my sister Haley and I are preaching together. I bet most of you have never seen two sisters do this together, so welcome to the sister sermon. If you know anything about Haley and I, you know that me and her are very different. And there has been countless moments where I have looked at her and shook my head and thought, why did she just do that? My mom was the one who gave us the idea, well, told us that we were going to be doing the sermon together, because we both wanted to do it individually. So, but of course, she is honestly my best friend and my partner in crime, and I have no idea where I would be without you. So Haley, I love you to the moon and back. So today, we are talking about how everyone on this earth has a different life path, yet God can see, use, and work through us to become a Christian he wants us to be. As a 16-year-old girl trying to balance volleyball, work, school, a social life, family, and church, I can say that I have a pretty complicated life. Like, this is my schedule for this week. And yes, I write everything down. I am very organized. But I can also say that I am so happy. I am genuinely the happiest person alive. I have this indescribable feeling of pure happiness that everything around me gives me calmness and peace. I could talk for hours about the amount of blessings I have and the opportunities that I definitely do not deserve. But I am nothing close to perfect. And one of the few things I still struggle with anymore is accepting the things I can't control. For example, the feelings of other people, the actions of people that indirectly affect me, and even the passage of time, when words, feelings, and promises don't stay the same. There is so much I can do now to affect my circumstances and my future, which is really exciting, but it comes to a point where I can't control it anymore. For example, I can try to win over a guy that I like, but I'll never be able to control his feelings and actions towards me. I can make a highlight video, go to college showcases, email coaches, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get recruited. I can take all IB and AP classes, study really hard, create a solid resume, but that doesn't guarantee you a spot in Harvard. It kind of seems unfair sometimes. When we don't get what we want, especially when we've worked so hard to get this job or opportunity or dream, we often cry out to God and ask, "Why did you not give this to me? I deserved it. I did everything I could. I was so close." And we often forget that he has a plan just for us. Hebrews 12 carries some of my favorite verses that relates to having a journey and having hardships within that. Verses 1 through 2 carries a great message when it comes to his path. And this actually was the verse of my Arise weekend. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat right down at the right hand of the throne of the God." These verses give us a metaphor for life. To run with perseverance the race marked before us. With open eyes, we shall look to Jesus as he gives us strength and peace. I also love how it says, "the sin that so easily entangles." I didn't catch this until I was practicing the sermon, but I wanted to include this because our God is a forgiving God. But our sin seems so complicated and hard and scary to get out of, even though it's already released from us. We are just the one that has to step out of it. And I literally love that line and how we can make our own connections and branch off and make our own beliefs by reading verses and stories. Looking forward a few verses, verses 5 through 6 gives us a message on how redirection or rough situations are not out of selfishness or a closed mind, but instead out of love. It says, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.'" God will put disappointing times in our life. He will put us through tough paths, and he will give us life-changing news that we might not think is for the better. But when he does, we need to learn how to accept it. I know that I do everything in my control for something I want. So when it doesn't happen, I need not to be upset or angry because of not getting my way, but instead be accepting of God's plan, which is bigger and better than ours. And how else do we get stronger without being challenged? Lastly, verses 7 through 13 goes into detail about God and his discipline for his children. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God, he disciplines us for our own good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. I'm going to try to not sound super mainstream, but I'll still say it. I don't go a day without sinning, and sometimes it actually does backfire on me. It's like karma, but for the Lord. He will discipline me by not having my plans actually happen or putting me in a tough situation to respect people's feelings more or just laying something so unexpected right in the middle of my face. That's definitely some type of hard love. If I were to describe what I would want in a perfect life, it probably would not even be possible in the first place, but I also wouldn't be as strong in my faith. Because if we got everything we wanted, we wouldn't be as appreciative as if we only got some. Having a life with God teaches us humility and happiness. I could definitely wish a lot, but I actually have come to like the balance of God saying, "Okay, here you go," or "Ha ha, you thought." But sometimes God does give us some amazing things, whether it is news or a person or an opportunity. That gives us an extra boost of confidence and hope. The most recent one for me happened on Wednesday. I took the SAT the beginning of June, and finally the waiting was over, and I was more than ready to see my score. I got a 1240 on the PSAT, which I took the first semester last year, and I was aiming for a 1300 or above, and I knew that was a stretch, and I didn't want to get my hopes up. And I knew that if I got a 12-something, I would have to accept it because the PSAT is on the same scale. But I felt pretty confident, and I was so hoping for something amazing. I really wanted it, but it has never been harder to click a button in my life. When I did, this happened. Let me tell you, I freaked out. I fell on my bed. I was literally crying. This was more than I could ask for. I mean, I wanted this, but I didn't think I would actually get this. And if you guys don't know, like, what the score means, when you start getting in the 1400s, that's when you start getting into Ivy Leagues like Harvard or Yale, which is, like, my dream school. So, obviously, your SAT scores do not determine how smart you are or how hard you work or where you will go to college, but it does play a role in it. I got a 740 on the math section, and a perfect score is an 800. And that has me in the 98th percentile for math, which is pretty crazy. But I'm intimidated now. Like, what if I can't improve? What if I do worse? What if I just had a lucky day and this score actually is not me? There are so many questions and doubts that I have now, but I decided to just be happy and appreciative. So call me a nerd, but just saying this makes me smile a lot. I think it definitely was a push from God to let me know that I was still one of the top, which I had previously been doubting because a lot of my friends got fives on other AP tests and they got better exam scores than me this year, and I felt like I couldn't keep up to them. I praise God for giving me this score that excites me for what I can do in the future and with my college choices. But this is just a number. This is a number we got from sitting in a room for 4 hours taking tests. It isn't about being happy and helpful to others. It isn't about serving or loving. Yet this means so much in today's high school society. We can't focus on these earthly things that are used to define us. And anyway, after I go to college, this score will mean absolutely nothing. It's pretty ironic. So overall, our life will be full of opportunities and disappointments and happiness and lots of emotion, and side roads, unexpected U-turns. And we have to learn to appreciate the good and the bad things that he gives us. Once we come to peace with those, we can live a life that will always be full of flaws, like we have none at all. So I think instead of seeking a life where we pursue all our dreams and maybe we're trying to chase something specific, instead we should be pursuing a peaceful and happy and humble life, which is seriously something so much more rewarding and amazing. I would say amen, but we're not done yet.
Okay, so the past week has been a pretty accurate way to describe my life. I spent over 11 hours each day at the barn for 5 days working in equestrian camp. So I was surrounded by 24 screaming children, and it's not just camp, it's horse camp. So along with crying 7-year-olds, there's anxious horses and upset instructors, meaning shrieking 1-ton animals who are freaking out because 24 young kids in bright pink shirts are running around the barn. So it was a great experience, and I ended up getting the Counselor of the Week award, meaning I was the counselor that stood out, and so I got a small reward. But it was an extremely busy week, and finally I had to get my mind back onto the sermon and what I was going to talk about. I rewrote the sermon multiple times, and by the final time of writing this, of course, it's less than a week until the sermon. But I was struggling to find a good message and what not to talk about. I was constantly thinking about the past couple of years and how they've been absolutely breathtaking and life-changing in every way possible. But that's when I started realizing that it's not the most important part. Like the saying goes, it's not the destination, it's the journey which you take to get there. That's the adventure. I had an interesting childhood, and it was honestly pretty indescribable, but that's what made me who I am today. I grew up with an interesting sister. Nope, she's amazing. She was always there for me, and our joke to this day is that her sole purpose is to keep me out of jail. So she was there for me. She was kind and loving and supportive, and we would always do fun games and crafts and play stuffed animals together. But there was one thing that had me jealous of her, and of course, I was really young at the time, so I hadn't really understood the importance of embracing your own body type with body image. So I had a sister who, in my young, naive eyes, had a beautiful and skinny body. But little did I know how much she was struggling inside with the exact same thing that I was. I always felt bigger and kind of more on the heavy side, even though I really honestly wish to this day I never thought that. But I did, even though I really wasn't. Another thing that got to me was that I had a problem with my face in pictures. I thought that I looked fat when I was smiling, so I wouldn't smile in photos. I would grin or open my mouth in a kind of weird screaming sort of looking way, but I was insecure and self-conscious, and so I wouldn't smile. And if I was smiling, it was probably a family picture. but I didn't like it. I had interesting looking braces and glasses, and I just always wanted to be something and someone that I wasn't. And that didn't change. But going into seventh grade, I started riding horses. And if there's one thing that's changed my life so much, it would have to be that. It's hard to explain how much one thing can make such a big impact on your life. I've met new people, I've had amazing experiences, I've learned new things, I've cried, I've laughed, I've had the time of my life, I've had lows, highs. It's just one of those things, I know I'm not going to forget it. And it's when I started getting addicted to the equestrian life, when I was recommended to do a barn assistant program at the barn. So I took a couple months of training at the barn, and I took a test of a barn assistant, and I failed it the first time. And so I did a couple more months of training, and then retook the test, and I actually aced the test. The owner of the barn came running down the barn and screaming my name, and shared my name all over the board with the hundreds all over it, and I felt so cool. And so it just burst up after that. I became a barn assistant, and I got hours, meaning I got free lessons with that, and I could experience new things, get challenges with the horses, and I got to know more people, the instructors, the owners, and it's when I really started loving it, when I realized how much I was actually lacking in my physical body. I'd always perceived myself on the bigger side when honestly I wasn't. I said that I wasn't really subjected to women's and girls' body image issues because I didn't want myself to be associated with anything or anyone, but the truth was that there was so much more going on. Because when I was young and these kids in fifth grade and elementary school are getting shown these things of these small, small people with no muscle or no fat, it's not normal, but because of how young these kids are, they don't understand really what they're looking at. And it took me till I was in my teenage years to realize that I wanted to excel in a sport and be good at a hobby, and I didn't have to be the skinniest girl alive. I didn't have to be the best-looking girl or the girl that looked amazing, because when I was at the barn, I was a whole new person. I could feel good about myself, my skills, my talent range. I didn't have to be subjected to society and what they wanted me to think. I was able to be who I wanted to be because I had accepted who I was. But the sad part was that it was there all along. I could have just accepted who I was when I was younger and realized I was beautiful in my own way and how much I could do with that, but there's a reason why God never changed any of that. He never made me extremely skinny or excessively attractive in fifth grade. He never made me feel like the person that I thought I wanted to be, because he knew that something would change. And something really did start to change. And this time, it wasn't good. It was around August-ish of 2016, and one day I started having extreme stomach pains. I thought it was because it was a summer day, and I was eating a lot and not really doing much. So the next day, I headed out on an extremely long walk with the dog. But the next day, the pains continued happening, and weeks later and months later, they continued. And it was extreme pain, so it makes it hard to describe how much you've been taking advantage of something, because I'd never really had physical problems up until then. So I went to a doctor for a checkup, and I had lost a lot of weight by that time, so I was 90 pounds as a 14-year-old, which is 20 pounds under the average weight for that age. My mom and I had always had it in the back of our heads, but we finally came to accept that I had inherited the irritable bowel syndrome that she has. So it's not anything major, it just really means that my bowels don't work as well as yours do, so I have to take flora pills every day to ensure that a certain good bacteria is returned to my body. And it was pretty much relieved after that, but after losing a lot of weight, I wanted to change my whole view on my body at that moment. I wanted to be healthy and fit, and that didn't mean extremely skinny, because in fact, as an equestrian, I wanted to have really big thighs and be really muscular, and I didn't want anything to have to hold me back from being the best version of me possible. So I started changing, thinking, working, and I felt differently, and enough said, I practically got it all. I go to Lennox Stables for my riding and barn assisting, and I couldn't be happier, honestly. I'm so close to my instructors, the horses, my peers. I've made these amazing relationships with people that I didn't even know they knew I existed. But I'm 14, and I must realize that my life is going to change. I went to James Alexander for sixth grade, and a few of you know that I got into Metrolina Regional Scholars Academy for 7th and 8th grade. So it was a great experience. I'm more advanced in my studies because of it, and I met new people and learned new ways of teaching. And it was a great experience in a social aspect because of how small it was. My class size was 43 for those 2 years. But now I'm going to North Mech for high school. And I remember some people from JMA, but whether they remember me is a whole other story. Additionally, for the past 5-ish years, I've been an actress. I've loved it, and I've loved going to Imagine On and performing. but it all started changing when I started writing. Writing became more and more of my calling, and acting just started appealing to me less and less. But I'd also met great friends there. One specifically has been standing by my side for every year that I've been acting. But I had to choose between acting and writing this year, and so I chose writing because I just felt so much more connected to it. I had always was so happy and excited to be able to go to the barn, but it just has already been amazing. And so I chose writing. But I started writing 2 years ago in hopes to be jumping. And I started out at Lenox Stables because I had been there when I was extremely young and I loved it. But Lenox Stables rides English Saddle Seat, which is an English division discipline, that focuses on equitation. So everything was great and I'd forgotten about my passion to jump because of all the amazing experiences I had at Lenox. But it kept calling to me, so I started jumping at a barn near my house and I've loved it. It seems to be everything that I've been dreaming of. So I've made unforgettable relationships in many different aspects of my life, and I don't want to leave them. But by the end of the summer, into a new school year, I'll be at a new school, possibly at a new barn, and not on the stage anymore. I'm practically wiping my slate clean. And I know I'm 14 and I have so much more time to decide what I want to do, and I can meet more people and learn new things, but it's still scary. I'm leaving most everything I know and love to try something new. And I love change and trying new things, but in this case, it's so much bigger. I know God has a plan for me, and despite that, I still question him often, thinking about what he's ever going to have me go through. John 13:7 is such a simple verse, but it says way more than we read. Jesus said to the people, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." We know that God has a plan for us, and that he wants us to strive and be happy, but we have little faith in him. The manly struggles of the world constantly tell us that we can handle our life alone. I'm constantly subjective to that, and I'm sure most of you out there are too. I know what I'm doing, I know where I want to go, where I want to be, and what I want, and I don't need an overhead supervisor to tell me that. All I have to do is take initiative. I'm young and wild-minded, but it's still hard to put your faith into someone that you can't actually see. As humans, we read and overhear of all these people who are doing perfectly fine without the Lord. They have a great life in many aspects, and not one of those aspects include one in the faith realm. But in all honesty, I don't know where my life leads to with God. But I also don't know where my life leads to without God. I don't know anything about my future. Either way, whatever happens, I don't know. So what am I to lose if I follow God? A lot, probably. But I'll have less stress. I can have faith that although I have no clue whatsoever, I can have faith that there's a plan and a path for me in the future. I can hope in someone who hopes in me, someone who will always be there, someone who will always love me and care for me, someone who accepts me. What do you have to lose? If you're going to lose something, ask yourself, was that really right for you in the first place? If God doesn't want you to have those things in your life, there's a reason. God wants for you to be happy in the right way, and he's simply moving things around to ensure that it's better in the future. What are you losing on your journey to harmony with God? Think. Is it worth it? Thank you. Jesus said to the people, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." John 13:7.
The miracles that God gave us and that God worked through us was all his plan. Had we had any idea where and what we would be now, we probably wouldn't have believed ourselves.
He took us through an unknown path.
The less traveled path.
The path full of unexpected circumstances.
The path that was so full of branches and twigs that we couldn't see 5 feet ahead of us. But once we got through, in the clearing, there was something that was unimaginable.
The trek was long and tiring, but he helped us through.
And was something that was so mentally hard that we couldn't believe we would thrive.
But he never told us where we were going.
Or what would happen next.
Which challenges would be our hardest.
And when we would crumble to the ground, our knees weak.
But he also never told us of the mountaintops.
Or the parts where we smiled and started crying of laughter.
When the joy of being with friends and family overwhelmed us with happiness.
He never mentioned that going downhill can lead your mind uphill.
How much stronger we would become.
How much happier.
Smarter.
Calmer we would be about all of life's situations.
And how much more committed we would be about having a relationship with Christ.
Because he is in control of it all.
Because if we knew, we would try and change it.
And I trust in him for my journey.
As my life is unique.
And precious.
And with the right perspective.
Is more happier.
And exciting.
Than we could ever ask for.
Amen.